You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 6th of January. Oh boy, were we bad last night. We'll talk about it. A weird hypothesis of something that's wrong early in games, and a look at the New York Knicks. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and making it way better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm so excited to welcome back a longtime sponsor to the program, a product that I use. Well, I used to use every day, but then the pandemic came and I wear sweats every day. So I don't use them every day like I used to. But Grip 6 belts are back on today's show, and I'm pretty excited about that. I'm a big wearer of Grip 6, and they now have wallets as well as socks, which I'm wearing because the Quinton was nice enough to send me some. Anyway, and I got to get Quinn. I think in the new outfits that Quinn's wearing, I think I've got to get Quinn to wear Grip 6 belts. All right. Anyway, let's get to last night. Avoid it as long as we can. Okay, before we were bad last night. I'll get to that in a second. Really bad. I do want to, like, sometimes look at the other perspective. And this is not negating how we were. That was crazy impressive by Brooklyn. So if you think about where Brooklyn was coming into that game, they lost 4 of 5. They just found out that their main guy is going to be out for an extended period of time. And because of COVID, kind of feeling that they might have gotten screwed because Durant's not positive. He's just been contact tracing. They have been brutal on the defensive glass, allowing offensive rebounds. They're playing the number one offensive rebounding team in the league. They've been brutal about allowing guys get behind them on the pick and roll. And they're playing the number one dunker in the league. And they've generally defensively been bad. And they have a first-year head coach who they don't really have a relationship with. And they came out like a ball of fire and rectified almost all of their problems. Pretty impressive to me. So let's just stop for a second. If they end up having a really, really good season, I actually think that's going to be an important night going back for Brooklyn. Now, let's talk about our performance. We were really bad. The opening moments were pretty dreadful. We opened the game 2 of 10. They opened the game like 11 of 13 or something crazy. By the 5 minutes in, it's 13 to 4. It's 20 to 4. We're bad. And we're down 23 to 5. Like, pick your spot. If there is a criticism to this group back to last year, and I brought it up in the off season, in between. I don't necessarily think this is a play hard group. Like, if you look what Steve Nash did with the starting lineup, he put Taurean Prince and Bruce Brown in the lineup. They're play hard guys. Like, Jeff Green is not a play hard guy. Why? Because Jeff Green is one of the most outrageously talented athletes I've ever seen in my entire life, and he doesn't have to play hard. He's that great an athlete. Taurean Prince and Bruce Brown, if they don't play hard, they don't play. We don't have that. They either don't pay or get paid, right? They play or get paid. We actually don't have that. We're really talented. We're really good. Part of the problem with really, really talented guys and really good guys, they're not always that play hard. I don't look at our guys as a play hard group, right? Like, maybe feel free to at me on Twitter or whatever and disagree with me. But when I look down our list of guys, Rudy plays generally pretty hard, didn't last night. And Royce generally plays. And Royce, up until he got his contract, had to play hard. Like, if he doesn't play hard, he doesn't play. It's kind of my feeling on Jay Crowder and Ricky Rubio. Like, they were play hard guys, because if they didn't play hard, they're not good enough at the other stuff. So that's always been and I think we see that out of our group. That, then I do think this could be more common in this season than we're going to get. There are nights where you come to the arena, you don't quite have it, and you're trying to find somebody to spark you, and it could be, you know, in Brooklyn, it could be anything. It could be Allie Love in Brooklyn being the in-arena host. For those on Peloton, know what I'm talking about. It could be some fan in the crowd that yells at you. Donovan, we've seen that with plenty of times. It could be that you see somebody you know. It could be anything. There's none of that in arenas this year, right? I haven't been, but I've been to enough arenas and games. So they're coming in on the bus. There's usually people mingling everywhere. There's usually now there's no one. They're going to their locker room by themselves. There's usually media everywhere. You're kind of working through people, but there's a vibe. There's an energy. There's a juice. Like, it's my most favorite thing is getting off the bus on the road and coming into a game, or even just at home parking underneath and walking. It's like one of my most favorite things in life. There's an energy and a juice to it. There's none of that right now. You come out on the floor, there's no fans in there, there's no autograph seekers, there's none of those things to get you going. And so I do think there's something to that. I thought there was, I want to read three quotes from last night. Here's Rudy Gobert. I just didn't bring it tonight, especially in the first quarter. I have to set the tone for my team, my teammates, every single night. And tonight, I didn't start the game with the intensity that I should have. Allen played a good game. He's a good player, but I started the game soft. Okay. So Rudy, right there. Quinn. Probably the real thing was our inability to protect the paint. If the ball goes in there that easy, there's not a lot of good things that are going to happen. It's going to be tough to recover. It started with transition and it permeated into everything that we do. You know, I understand that our defensive principles are to keep the ball out of the middle. But way too often, we're going to the Woodrow Wilson open door policy of defense. Okay, late 19th century references probably aren't great on the podcast, but too often, instead of not, the idea is, okay, we don't want to get beat middle, so we're shading so far to the baseline that it's a straight line drive. Like, these are unbelievable pro athletes. And we've got guys that are like opening up their back foot to a level in which it is just a straight line drive. Like, we've got to be able to guard our yard a little. If we don't guard our yard a little, it's really a big problem. I mean, the crazy thing about this season, seven games in, is I feel like the game plan is just out on how to deal with this. Get really, really physical on our routes. And you don't need to move the ball. You can just go one-on-one drive and then start moving it out. And we don't have enough guys who are really good perimeter defenders or are big enough to stop you from driving. Like, that seems to be what's going on. So Quinn's comment there, like, we got guys who've got to stay in front of the basketball. At least, I got it. The NBA is brutally hard. These guys are so talented. Like, it's really hard. And the minute you don't, like, if you're so worried about getting beat middle, the minute you play straight, you're going to get beat middle, and then you're in the doghouse. I got it. I've been to enough practices. I understand how this works. And the NBA athletes are so great that if you play them straight and they juke a little bit, they're going to get middle. And frankly, trying to stay in front of someone in the NBA is almost impossible. You can't touch, you can't hand, you can't do anything. But you've got to be able to put a little bit of restraint on them so that their first move is not just a straight line drive. At least make them do a little bit so the defense can shift, react, and be ready. Here's Donovan's quote afterwards. We just didn't do much right tonight, and that can't happen. It's been the story all season. What are we? 4-3. Whatever it is, that's indicative of how we play. We have 2.5 good games and then 3 bad games. So it's like we've got to figure out who we want to be right now. We have, let's see, what was the last part of it? We have time to turn this around, but we need to start now. Okay. So those are the 3 leaders and what their comments were after the game. We weren't good last night. Like, we lost by 36. We were down by 20. It was over early, right? It was bad. It was bad. Not sky is falling, just bad. All right. We will talk about that. I have a weird theory of something I'm seeing, and I don't really know. I'm just going to share it with you. I don't actually have any insight. Like, I don't know that if I was, like, would share it with anyone, like, as though I think it's insightful. Well, I do think it's insightful. I don't know exactly why or what. How's that? Is that fair? Like, so I'll explain it to you coming up. That's a weird tease, isn't it? I mentioned it. They're back, and I'm fired up about it. It's Grip 6. Grip 6 is a belt company, wallet company, now sock company, Utah-based, all products manufactured and distributed from in-house, lifetime guarantee on all products. It's a minimalistic, sleek design, the most comfortable belt you'll ever wear, no pinching of the gut. It actually has a friction locking system that makes the belt stay tight all day and doesn't have any holes or flaps. So it just hooks in underneath. Really cool that you'd have your buckle and you have your strap and you can interchange them and change it. So like if you buy 2 straps and you buy 2 buckles, you actually end up with 4 belts. Wide selection of colors and styles for everyone. It's really, really cool. The wallets are cool. New space age aluminum wallet built for easy access. Holds, squeeze the lever to choose between your 6 cards. They go in, they lock, they don't come out. You push the button, they pop out. Pretty darn cool. And I'm loving the socks. They're also made in the U.S., made in their own factory. Highest quality wool, antibacterial and antimicrobial moisture wicking socks. Pretty cool. It's all at grip6.com. Go check it out. Love to have you give them a little support, a Utah company, and I'm a big fan of what they do. It's at grip6.com. Today's show is also brought to you by my good friends over at Intercap Lending. Steve Carter and the crew are the best. They give you the best service. They make everyone happy, and they do a wonderful job. Intercap Lending is a Utah lending company. They've been in business for 40 years, and now they've come to Utah, and they just keep growing and growing and growing. With great community involvement, they get deals done because they're hyper-responsive. They embrace change. The borrower experience is fabulous. They still service my own loans. We've worked with Steve Carter twice, and he's great. My COO's worked with Steve Carter from the Lockdown Podcast Network. So give Steve a call. 385-885-28. That's 385-885-28, Intercap Lending, NMLS number 190465. For more information, visit intercaplending.com. It's intercaplending.com, and it's Steve Carter. Tell him you're Locked On Jazz at 385-885-28. Have you caught Josh Lloyd's Locked On Fantasy Basketball? It is the best fantasy basketball program out there. Make sure you grab it and listen and take it all in. It's absolutely fabulous. Locked On Fantasy Basketball. All right, here's my weird thing I'm watching. Early in the game, our shot selection is really bad. Or let me rephrase that. Our shot distribution is really bad. So last night, in the first 5 minutes, we go 2 of 10. I can't, unfortunately, with NBA.com, I can't do it exactly right, but all right, we get no free throw attempts. We take 10 shots. We only took 2 threes. Like, we're supposed to be a 3-point shooting team, all that, and we only get 2 threes. Here's what the shots, now, we miss a 3. Donovan takes a 3 on the first possession, the game misses. So there's our 3. We then actually miss 3 straight layups. So we're at least at the rim to start. So of the 10 shots, 3 are rim shots. We'd want 40%. 3 is pretty good. We're only short 1. But then it starts. Bogdanović takes an 11-footer. Bogdanović takes an 11-footer. Conley takes an 18-footer. Royce makes a layup. All right, so that's good. We're at 4 of our 10 shots are layups. I cannot complain about that. Donovan takes a 20-footer. Royce misses a 26-footer. Boyan misses an 8-footer. Boyan misses a 3. Those are our 2 threes. And then that's at the 6-minute mark. So that actually backs us up. I had stopped us at the 7. So in our first 12 shots, and I can stretch out my little gap here a little bit and take it to the first substitution. Of our first 12 shots, 3 threes, 3 or 4 at the rim. And we're 2 of 12. Like, you know, we'd like to be at about 40%+ of our shots being threes, and we'd like to be ideally at four. And I get you want to attack early, but you got to attack early and still be eyes out. I don't know if it's I don't know what I'm really saying here. Do I think we're attack early and too focused on our own shots? I'm not entirely sure of that. But in the first 5 minutes of that game, and then what's interesting, by the way, is when you miss those short shots, those are actually the runouts. I need to look into this. I'm convinced that there's more runouts on short little missed shots where the guys are combined around the basket, and then they kick out and we have a hard time getting back. When we have the floor spread nicely and we shoot a 3, even if there's a long rebound, we got 3 or 4 guys back. But it certainly felt like they ran out on short misses last night. You know, it's hard. You can go, and I don't know how to figure that. Like, do we go through the play-by-play and look, you know, Bogdanović misses an 11-footer and Kyrie hits a layup 10 seconds later? Maybe that tells us, right? Bogdanović misses a layup. Kyrie gets a layup 5 minutes later. 5 seconds later. 5 minutes later, right? We scored 5 minutes later. Okay. The night before against San Antonio, we start the night well. We shoot 4 of 7 in the opening 5 minutes. But again, and this isn't like, we're only talking 1 or 2 shots here. So again, I'm not like, this is not one of the most definitive research projects I've ever done here. It's really just a feel when I watch us. We, of our first 7 shots that night, in the first 5 minutes of the game, we only take 2 threes. Walk through the Spurs game. Bogdanović gets a layup on the first play, which is set play. Rudy misses a layup. All right, and then Donovan takes a 3. All right, this is great. Then Rudy gets back-to-back dunks, so we were great. We're attacking the rim. We're 4 of 7. Conley misses a 3. It's all good. It's pretty hard to complain about that stretch against San Antonio. So maybe that's an indicator of like how we, whether we're going to be on it or not. I don't know. Go to the Clippers game. In the Clippers game, it looks great. We were 5 of 10 to start the night. We came out having gotten blasted the night before by Phoenix. We only took 2 threes. Again, it's like, again, we're talking about 1 or 2 shots, such a small sample size. But it seems like it's 1 or 2 shots every time. We opened with a Bogdanović 15-footer. Rudy misses a 4-footer. Donovan takes a 3. It's good. But then Bogdanović takes another mid-range shot. Conley misses a 3. Conley misses a layup. Bogdanović gets a layup. Okay, well, that's pretty great. That's 3 straight layups. Conley takes an 8-footer and makes it. Bogdanović is back at the rim. Rudy dunks. Like, we're not going to complain about that shot chart, even if it doesn't have threes. Like, we're on the rim. So maybe it was just last night. And against Phoenix, the same thing's true. Is it felt like early on, there's just a little bit of a level of us playing with too many 3-point or too many mid-range shots or not enough threes early is probably really what I'm saying. It's not enough threes early. But you know what? You don't want to become, I'm not sure what I think about this. Like, the idea is you don't want to become jump shot happy and give up, you know, and not attack the rim. You'd like it. There's some aspect of this, by the way, that you actually might go the opposite way, that when you get in the penalty is when you really want to start attacking at a little bit higher rate than early in the quarter. When teams want to play physical, maybe you go take those throughs. Who knows? you know, hard to tell. So maybe there's nothing to that, but keep an eye on it. It's just a feel. Sometimes, you know, what you really just saw is I often do these, you know, I shared with you my research on it. And on the games we're good, it seems like we're all right, and the games were bad. Is it really like that we can tell in the first 5 minutes of the game? I don't know. That seems a little surprising. Few notes that I think are worth just kind of keeping an eye on here, okay? These are all negative. I don't mean them to be, but we weren't very good last night. Donovan is 4 of 16 in the paint non-restricted area. That's that floater where at 6-1, he's not quite able to get to the rim. He's not going to get fouled on this shot. This is actually the range where he has to draw the foul. He did a good job last night of getting 10 free throw attempts. But you actually don't draw fouls at the rim. You draw fouls a little earlier. And this is where he's got to draw the foul. Bogdanovich is also 4 of 16 in that range. That's a lot of shots for Bogey in that range. Bojan is also 8 of 20 at the rim. So Bojan right now is 12 of 36 in the paint. I think more than threes, that could be the wrist and having some sort of pain and some sort of feeling in there where it's not quite right. This was a significant surgery. So, you know, just a thought on that. Mike Conley is 5 of 13 at the rim. 39%. That's as great as Mike Conley's been. That's a little disconcerting. Like, that's age, possibly. A little too early for that, but he's been great on his floater, 13 of 23, 56%. And he's been great on the above the break three, 49%. Those two numbers are unlikely to stay that good. And so that rim number better get up to 50%. If you're following me. You know, Mike's been great. Like, been probably as good a player as we have so far this year. But that's just, you know, early season, look at a number, jump at it. For, according to Basketball Reference, from 0 to 3 feet, Mike's at 44%. I have him at just the restricted area is all I'm looking at, and has him at a little bit of a different number that I just said to you, which is 39%. But just to contrast, it's 44% early this season. Last year was 57. Year before was 55. Year before that was 57. Year before that was 61. He's also, in the last 4 years, gone from 25% of his shots to 19% of his shots to 13% to 9% of his shots at the rim. So those aren't great trends, but if he can figure out how to make all those above the break threes off the bounce and do that, it should be fine. So just a little thought on that. The other one that's just a little strange right now is some of our catch and shoot numbers. Again, I'm almost 100% convinced that these will rectify themselves. Our guys like didn't forget how to shoot. They're 40% career 3-point shooters. We're great on the catch and shoot. Our key is getting those catch and shoots. Last night we were 8 of 20, which is right on our 40%. So I think, you know, I think that's good, but just to share with you some of the numbers, I actually think these will all get better. I think Bojan is at 30%. I'm not too worried about that. Donovan's unbelievable. He's at 54%. Joe Ingles is 4 of 16 on catch and shoot. This is a career 40% catch and shoot guy. Like, that's going to come back around. Mike Conley, Jordan Clarkson have been great. Royce O'Neal is amazing at 52%. And George Niang is a strange 0 of 6 on catch and shoot. Now, he's not getting much time. He's playing a little less. He probably has less of a rhythm. And he'll figure that out. But that is, those seemed a little strange. All right. We'll look at the New York Knicks here in just a second. Preview you for that. Have you listened to the new show, Locked On Bets? They did miss yesterday. They had the Jazz big over Brooklyn. You know, Lee's human. He's not going to go 100%. But it's a really fun show hosted by your boy Q with handicapper Lee Sterling. It's 10 to 15 minutes every day on whatever's going on in the betting world, his picks of the day. It's all brought to you by Bet Online. AG. BetOnline AG will give you a 50% welcome bonus with the promo code LOCKEDON. One place that has you covered with the NFL regular season finishing up and the playoff wildcard weekend. Great time to get into the action. And you can do it with the promo code LOCKEDON and receive 50% off your welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at BetOnline. _AG on Twitter. Take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for your sign-up bonus. BetOnline.ag. And today's show is brought to you by our good friends over at Built Bar. Another new flavor emailed me yesterday from Built Bar. Real cookie dough chunks for a bar that tastes... How's that possible? How do they do this? It's incredible. So yes, real... dark chocolate cookie dough is out. It sounds too good to be true. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. You get 20% off. I'm going to have to check this out because you can do your own mix and match bar or you can do 18 flavor mix. 15% off or 20% off with the promo code LOCKEDON. So great flavors out there as always. Banana Nut Bread's a winner. Apple Almond Crisp has been a winner for a bunch of our show hosts. And as I think we've told you, the macros on it are amazing. You're going to get something that tastes like a candy bar, but is a protein bar and is good for you. It's at BuiltBar.com. Free four-pack of bite-sized puffs with every box you order right now, plus the promo code LOCKEDON. They've got so many cool little products going on right now. The other one I have become a big believer in or user of is Built Boost, which is their version of emergency. And you can use the promo code LOCKEDON on that as well. It's their immune defense. Again, Built Bar, though, 120 fewer calories, 3.5 fewer fat grams than the leading men's bar, 34 fewer net carbs, 17 fewer sugar grams, yet more protein. It's BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. Jazz and the New York Knicks today. I'll be honest, before last night, I thought the Jazz would... I've missed every game this year, though. I thought the Jazz would really struggle with the Knicks and handle Brooklyn. So I've been wrong on every game, so we should be just fine tonight. The reason I'm worried about the Knicks is watching them... they're pretty good in isolation, and then they're pretty good spot-up shooting team right now. They're the sixth best spot-up shooting team. The good news is they're a bad transition team. Thibodeau's got them thinking defense so much they're not running at all. And they're not really a high-level pick-and-roll team. But they've got some guys that play a pretty good isolation game. So Julius Randle is just going to get space the floor and come after you with a drive getting to his left hand each and every time. Austin Rivers is one of the better one-on-one kind of on-ball, go-at-you guys in the league and is good at it. Randle's done has the most isolation possessions of anyone in the NBA right now. He's in about the 64th percentile in success, but I mean, that he's more than Luka, more than LeBron. I mean, Harden hasn't played every game, but more than Harden. He's coming at you in isolation at a really, really high rate. There are only about, isolation is kind of a funny thing, like, right? It's getting more and more important. All the time in the league. Of guys that have had 15 isolation chances this year, Randall's up near the top. And you got these guys coming at you. Peyton Pritchard, by the way, is like the stunner in that list of... we'll keep an eye on it, but that's where he's coming. Austin Rivers playing not huge minutes, but he's coming at you in isolation. They were really scrappy and I thought looked really, really good against Atlanta the other night. Now, Atlanta's not much of a defensive team. They're an offensive scoring juggernaut team, so they're not trying to go at you in the same fashion. Maybe we're going to be able to defend better, and we've got Rudy, and they don't have anyone. Certainly that would be encouraging. But that's something to keep an eye on. They're playing hard in what they're doing. Alfred Payton is their point guard, so they don't, as I said, they don't really have a pick and roll game. They've turned the pick and roll game over to RJ Barrett so far. And RJ Barrett has picked up his game a great deal. He's driving to the basket at a pretty high rate so far this year. He and Julius Randle are again kind of coming at you. Barrett prefers to go left if he can on a drive, so we'll see whether we shade him right. And he's far better if he goes to his left hand. And as I mentioned with Julius Randle, like, he goes left no matter what you do. He actually, you know, at this point, teams shade him so much he has to figure it out. So they've got three guys that are really coming at you downhill. And second-year players in this league are playing way better than they have before. Their best pick-and-roll combination to keep an eye on is R.J. Barrett with Mitchell Robinson. So they then have, you know, the big Rudy Gobert-type player like Jared Allen in the middle, who they believe is like the next Rudy. Elfrid Payton's just not a very good pick-and-roll player, and so they've moved to Emmanuel Quickley, who finished the game for him, the first-year player, rookie out of Kentucky, and he's been much better. His pick-and-roll game has been fabulous. It'll be interesting to see what they do with that tonight. So, you know, I just think this is a tough matchup, actually. They're not an elite-level team, but they do a lot of things we don't do very well. The isolation's a hard play. Julius Randle's at about 1.07. As I said, the most isolations in the league. The next guy coming at them is Austin Rivers, who's really good. And you've got R.J. Barrett coming at you in those circumstances. So this is a good, just put your head down and drive basketball team that is going to be tough for the Jazz to handle. So we'll keep an eye on it. And see what they bring to the table. Jazz and the Knicks tonight. Right now, tell yourself to play the most recent episode of Locked On NBA and get a recap of last night's NBA action in 30 minutes or less. It's Locked On NBA. Have a great one. This is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.